again, Gooners. Fake cheerful is how I feel in 2024, the first podcast from here, at least, for that particular year. Oh, what can you say after that terrible performance at Craven Cottage against Fulham? There's a lot wrong with the team all of a sudden. Didn't seem to be the case earlier on in the season with Arsenal at the top of the league. Even during the game against Fulham, a great start with Saka scoring that opening goal. Even though it was scooped into the net, I even said spooned into the net, it still got there, didn't it, in the end. But some people said that was a skill in itself to loop it over. I'm not so sure. He just looked out of sorts. Saka looked out of sorts. And maybe that is one of the issues. It's not that he's lost his class. You know what they say, class is permanent, form is temporary. The issue is there's a lot of players out of form. And it's been alluded to on other podcasts as well, but there were so many players off their game, Saka being one of them. Yeah, he produced a few good moments, but you need more from your best player. So, yeah, that's one of the things wrong with the team, but I don't want to lay it all on his doorstep because, obviously, there are a lot more problems. I think, for me, perhaps the most concerning thing, it was a little thing, and I'm not sure that many people picked up on it, but Declan Rice having a go at Gabriel for heading the ball over, not quite over the bar, but he headed a ball that was crossed in. He headed it for a corner. I don't quite know why Declan Rice was getting on Gabriel's case there. Obviously, it's quite hard to know every single detail of a game when, particularly if you're watching it on television, it's quite hard to know exactly what's going on. But it was concerning for me that he was having a blazing row with Gabriel and Fulham scored not so long after that. I'm not blaming it on Declan Rice, but ultimately, why is he doing that? Why is he getting frustrated? Why is he showing this level of disunity? Because the other teams see that and then they start playing better as a result. They think that they're getting to Arsenal, which is obviously what happened. And Declan Rice didn't really play that well. He's had a great first half of the season for Arsenal in most games. In most games, he's been either the best player or one of the best players, but recently he's dropped off a bit. Obviously, conceding a penalty against West Ham probably didn't improve his mood. And you can understand the guy wants to be a winner, and I think he can be that, but he needs to shut his trap, to be honest. It's certainly in public. If he's going to have a word with Gabriel, he needs to do it more quietly. I mean, there is this sort of school of thought in football that it's good to shout at teammates, G them up. And yeah, I agree with that to some extent. But the point is, you G them up is the key part. You G them up by being positive. If you keep on focusing on negatives, then the performance will go downhill. And that was the first sign that I saw that things weren't going to work out too well for Arsenal. At that point, I think it was 1-1. And I was beginning to think there is no way back in this game. And you shouldn't think that when you think about how much money's been spent on this squad. It's not the most expensively assembled squad, but certainly there's a lot of value in it. So anyway, I promised I was going to go through the team and say what's wrong and maybe what's right with it. I think David Raya is one of the things that's right with the team. He was part of the reason why Arsenal got off to a good start. He's very quick-witted. And he started the move that ended up with Saka's goal. Havertz was involved. Martinelli gets a lot of credit for whipping the ball in, even though it was sort of a shot, really, that was palmed away by Leno straight into the path of Saka. So I think I've heard Martinelli getting criticised quite a lot, and I've not always been his greatest fan, but to be honest, he's still a handful, and he's playing quite well. Not brilliantly well, but he's not really letting himself down, I don't feel. So I don't think there's too much cause for concern there with Martinelli. Yes, he's not scoring as many goals as he did last season, but I think just be patient with Martinelli. So I've covered two players there. Raya, yeah, there's been a lot of criticism of him. He saved a penalty against West Ham. How many penalties have recent Arsenal keepers saved? I can't recall Ramsdale saving any at all. Not saying Ramsdale's not a good keeper. Of course he is. There's been talk about selling Ramsdale as well. I'm not sure where I stand on that. if enough money could be raised from his sale to bring in a striker, say, for example, Ivan Toney, then I suppose I'm in favour of it. The player that would come in for Ramsdale would be Haim, who's pretty decent. An Estonian international goalkeeper, I think. But he hasn't really got much first-team experience, hardly any at all. So it's a bit high risk, you might say. But then again, if Arsenal do nothing in the transfer window, that's also high risk. It's quite strange how Mikel Arteta is underplaying his hand, really, making it sound like Arsenal will not be busy in January. Not saying they've got to be super busy, but they certainly need to bring in a striker. Everybody knows that. Goals have not been coming frequently enough, given the amount of possession that Arsenal have. They're just not hurting teams as well as with that possession. They don't seem to, in the Fulham game at least, they weren't really pushing the ball forward and making the right runs. And I think that's part of it. The passing was absolutely atrocious. I don't remember seeing Arsenal pass that badly for a long time. Certainly not under Mikel Arteta. So that was really disappointing. So I'm sure they can do better than that performance. Can't really do a lot worse. But anyway, I think Raya's still, for me, he's the number one choice. I think for everyone's beginning to realise why that is. He is good with his feet. He's not the tallest, but he does command the area to some extent. He's a pretty good shot stopper. He's got a cooler head than Ramsdale, so he's got to be the first choice, in my opinion. Ben White, I don't know what was wrong with him against Fulham. He wasn't at his best. I don't mean it's a cause for concern. It's just another off day, but White doesn't have too many off days, but that certainly was one of them. I really cannot put my finger on what went wrong. It was something with the whole team. It was almost like they'd gone out the night before, not saying they had, but it was like an after party performance, really. And maybe I'm just speculating here, but yeah, if a group of them all went out for a Christmas night out, that's the sort of performance you'd expect right afterwards. It was almost like they just didn't have any energy whatsoever. And White clearly needs to be motoring up and down the touchline. I think he put in a reasonable shift in those terms, but he just couldn't seem to defend as well as he normally does, and he didn't attack as well as he normally does. But we'll just put that down as a bad day at the office. Saliba, I thought, was pretty good. He got a yellow card. I thought he was pretty good overall. I wasn't too disappointed with him, but some people have been quite critical of his performance. I'm not really sure why. I didn't see him do anything dramatically wrong, and yeah, he was generally quite solid, as was Gabriel. As I said, I don't understand why Declan Rice was having a go at him, but I thought Gabriel was pretty good. Some of his passing was could have been better, let's say. Same with Saliba, actually. Saliba's passing wasn't as good as usual. Gabriel's was a little bit worse than usual. Kivior started the game at left back, supposedly, but some of the time he wasn't really at left back. I didn't quite know where he was playing some of the time. He's not my favourite player, I'll be honest, although he has ingratiated himself over a period of time because he's reasonably decent, but he was a bit anonymous, let's say. So perhaps it was no surprise to see him hauled off at half-time. Although, as I said, I don't think he was that awful. I don't, maybe about average for what I've seen. Saka, we've already discussed, or I've discussed it already, Saka was below par, despite scoring that goal. Odegaard started well. I thought he was really going to make a huge difference. Ultimately, I don't think he did. Rice wasn't on form. Too many misplaced passes. Same goes for Odegaard and Saka. People have been talking about Partey as if that's going to be the answer. But he's off to the African Cup of Nations. And when he does finally come back, I don't really see that that's going to make such a huge difference because he seems to be injured all the time. If he's not injured, then Arsenal are playing some sort of game where they're pretending he's injured, but he's not really, and he's surplus to requirements, but perhaps can't find any buying clubs. Even though I must admit, I do agree with what people say. He, of course, he's an excellent central midfielder on his day, but how many days are we going to see? It doesn't look like too many. Kai Havertz, thought he was all right, not bad. He was missed in the team. Everybody missed him when he wasn't available for the West Ham game. He came back. How much difference did he make? It was noted he didn't really... I don't think he did a lot wrong. It's just perhaps he could have been a bit more involved, let's say that. So I don't think there's anything dramatically wrong with him as a player, because I think he's improving all the time. Martinelli, I've spoken about already. I think no issues there. And Nketiah, well, this is a difficult one. He scores at home, has scored quite a few goals at home, but how many goals has he scored away from home? And to me, this is a psychological issue, and somebody at the club needs to get a hold of this. It doesn't mean he can't do it, but he just hasn't yet, and that needs to be addressed pretty soon. Otherwise, it seems that maybe Arsenal are too big a club for him. I don't like thinking it or saying it, but that's the reality. The sub bench. Trossard was on the sub bench. He's been called a super sub in the past. Wasn't that against Fulham? He just struggled a bit. I don't know what's wrong with him. Right now, again, I'd put it down to form more than anything. Ultimately, Trossard was an excellent signing. No one can really dispute that, but he's not really turning it on right now. Reece Nelson, there's been talk that he will get loaned out to unnamed clubs. Apparently, there's a whole clutch of unnamed clubs looking at Reece Nelson. I hope they didn't watch the game against Fulham, because he didn't really cover himself in glory, but he wasn't bad either. He just struggled to make an impact, let's say. The same applies to Jesus, who was actually worse than Reece Nelson in that game. I wouldn't say that too often, but because I think Jesus is an excellent player, but for one reason or another, he wasn't starting. I'm not actually sure the reason. I don't suppose anybody really is. Is he carrying an injury? I mean, it has been noted that the whole team were just so fatigued or looked fatigued, but are they carrying injuries? I wouldn't be at all surprised if Saka's carrying some kind of injury and getting injections before games. I wouldn't be at all surprised if the same applies to Jesus, who's had a bit of an injury record since arriving at Arsenal. Zinchenko, another one that's had injury problems. I don't think the team is better without him, because he offers leadership. He's a cool head. He's not quick, but then neither is Kvyat. Maybe Kvyat is slightly quicker than Zinchenko, but Zinchenko is, I think usually if he's fit, Arteta would play him, at least find a place for him in the team, because I hesitate to call him a genius, but sometimes he does things that a genius would do. And then other times he gets found out defensively, but should he be playing left back? That's another question. Timber, of course, is out for the foreseeable future with his ACL. Let's hope he's on the mend. Apparently he is. And Tomiyasu, of course, I missed him out. He came on as a sub at half-time. I found this a little bit bizarre, actually, because if he's injured, why is he even playing at all? Obviously, Kvyat, as I mentioned, didn't play that well, but wasn't it high risk to bring Tomiyasu on? I know he's going to be away for the Asian internationals for Japan, but still, I think it was perhaps not the smartest thing to do to play him for 45 minutes. And again, I don't think he made much of a difference. Don't think he made much of an impact. He's an excellent player. He's a brilliant man marker. He's the only player, really, from Arsenal at least, that I've ever seen take out Mo Salah and make Mo Salah innocuous. He's able to do that. So he's got a lot of discipline, Tomiyasu. But there we are. It's not looking that rosy, is it? Liverpool come up next in the FA Cup, and that's followed by Crystal Palace, both those games at home. The Crystal Palace game is not until the 20th, so it's going to be a long wait for the next Premier League game. But that gives Mikel Arteta plenty of time to rejig the squad, breathe a bit of life into them. They certainly need that. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say for today. Hope you have a really great 2024. And that's it for now. Adios, amigos.